Hi, welcome to my mom's podcast.
You're listening to the Attract and Stand Out podcast, created for ambitious, heart-centered entrepreneurs who want to build real relationships, influence others, and make an impact with everyone they meet. I'm your host, Darlene Holly, and I'm a mom of four, a wife, a storyteller, dream builder, and a personal branding and business coach. On the show, you'll hear real conversations about what it means to run your own business, what success actually looks like, and how you can overcome obstacles that get in your way. We're growing businesses with less hustle and more ease, transforming your mindset, and inspiring you to get moving and to follow your dreams. Are you ready? Let's dive in. I remember when I first started sharing more stories in my business, it was like I had a light bulb moment. And it finally clicked for me that I was seeing the transformation with the people that I was networking with when I told story. They finally understood what I did and how I supported my clients. And that's when I knew I was onto something and needed to share more of myself through storytelling. I'm excited to announce that I'm going to be hosting a workshop, a 90-minute live interactive workshop, where you're going to learn how to tell better stories, where you'll show up as your authentic self, grow your personal brand, and close more sales. So if you've been wondering or asking yourself, do I need to learn how to use storytelling in my business? This workshop is for you. Join me on February 16th for a 90-minute intensive workshop where we're going to dive really deep into your story, create all the pieces for building out your origin story, and how to use storytelling in your social posts and the videos that you create when you're interviewed on podcasts, or even if you are showing up and speaking live or virtually on stages. Head to darleneholly.com/storytellingworkshop to learn more. The early bird registration is only $47 if you sign up before February 1st. And then if you sign up after February 1st until February 16th, when we go live for the workshop, it'll be $97. Head over, check it out. I would love to have you join me. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out. All right, let's dive in to today's episode. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. I'm your host, Darlene Holly, and I am so excited for today's interview. I have with me my new amazing friend that I met a couple months ago, Alicia Galliott. Oh, I just said it. Galati. I knew it.
Yes.
I am so sorry. Alicia Galati, who runs a full service podcast management company, meaning you record and her team does the rest. She helps business owners launch and maintain lead generating podcasts, which is so important as entrepreneurs. If we're going to spend the time to have these amazing conversations, we want to make sure we're getting them out there to the world and to have other people hear them. And I'm so stoked to have you today, Alicia. How are you?
I'm doing so well. And thank you so much, Darlene, for having me on. I'm so excited to chat with you today.
Me too. It's always a fun, especially we chatted a couple months ago and got a chance to get to know each other when I was on that podcast episode, which I don't think it's even out yet. It's coming soon. I don't know when.
Next month.
Figure that out. So you'll be able to back-to-back hear my story, and then you can flip it and hear Alicia's story as well. So I think that makes it fun when we do these podcast swaps, because sometimes we're like, oh, I'm curious about this person, but all they did was ask some great questions. Now I want to deep dive and find out a little bit more. So I'm flipping the script with you today. And I would love to hear a little bit about your story. Can you tell me and all of us, like, how did you start your business? Why did you even want to become an entrepreneur? Like, what did that process look like for you?
Yeah. Wow. What a journey. Whenever people ask me that, they're like, oh, Alicia, we can't all just jump into six-figure businesses like you. And I'm like, but that's not what happened. Like, there were years leading up to this shift, right, into podcasting. So it started around the time when I had my first kid. He's now seven, so about 7 years ago. And I was working a corporate job. My background's in manufacturing and like working on a shop floor and supply chain and production. And so I was really just like, I don't like the idea of having a ceiling for myself, where I work these hours, I get paid this amount. I wanted unlimited money. Like, how can I keep making money and make more money and make more money? And so I've always been a very ambitious person. I started looking online, seeing what kind of things were out there. Sadly, as I look back, joined a few mom entrepreneur groups that, looking back, probably wasn't the best idea just because there was so much like, oh, cool. What about this thing? And then this thing, and I could try this thing, and I could try this thing. And it was so much flipping and flopping back and forth and trying to figure out what I wanted to do. But finally started doing some marketing, my degrees in marketing. I did some blog writing, a little bit of everything. And then I started listening to podcasts around that same time, absolutely obsessed with podcasts and just the idea of being able to learn on the go. I was like, oh, mind blown, right? Like I can drive in my car and learn something new. That is incredible. Especially when you're listening to the radio and it's like the same five songs played over and over again.
Always. So like, I just heard this song.
Yeah. It's like, can I get something new? So I started listening to Stuff You Should Know. They have a really, really popular podcast. So that was the first podcast I ever listened to. And when I kind of just started listening and listening more and more, I found that I was like, you know, I could probably do this. I could figure this out. So I launched my own podcast when my business was focused more on helping people who have e-commerce businesses and helping them with that supply chain stuff, like pretty much what I was doing in my corporate job, bringing it to the small e-commerce businesses. And I realized really quickly that I did not like doing what I did in my corporate job as a side hustle. Like I was like, this is terrible. I don't like doing this. So let's find something else. But this podcasting thing is really fun. And so I thought, you know, I've done the blogging, I've done the marketing, I've done the podcasting. Why don't I just create a full service package for podcasters where I'm not just an editor, I'm not just, you know, a graphic designer. I can do all of it for them. So I was like, you know what? Let me test this first because I'm all about testing things. Tested it out. Actually right after I lost my job due to COVID. And so I'm the sole provider, financial provider for my family, and my husband's a stay-at-home dad. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this whole business idea thing a go. And this is like the height of COVID when it like first happened in the States. And I was like, okay, let's do this. So I was like, I can launch a podcast for myself. I've done it twice now. Let me see if I can do this for someone else. Charge them absolutely dirt cheap to do it. Did it. It was a huge success. That client is still with us, absolutely loves and adores us and raves about us constantly. And then I tried it again and I raised my price more that time. And then I did it again and raised my price again and just kept helping these people and managing them and coming up with strategies and finding what was working in the industry. And now we're at the point now where we are producing about 18 shows a week. Which is bananas. I have a team of people. We do everything from the audio side to the video side for people who have video podcasts to even the marketing strategy. Get your team on the phone and let's figure out what marketing strategies are working so that if you don't have our team doing it, then your team can implement it and we can see success all around. So yeah, that's been my journey. It's been crazy.
I love it. I wanted to pull out two things that I think you shared that are so important when we're starting our businesses, or even as we continue to grow our business, like we're constantly up-leveling ourselves, up-leveling our business. And one of them is that you did the market research. You went out there and actually did the market research to make sure you had a viable business before you started as you started the business. And that's a mistake that I see a lot of people make, is sometimes they never go out and have conversations with people. They start to create messaging for their website and they build this amazing website and it doesn't speak to their ideal clients because the messaging and the person they're trying to actually attract in are not the same person. Mm-hmm. So I think it's so like, I want to like highlight that because that's something that's so vital. And I tell all my clients, like, go out and have conversations. And I don't mean like one with like your best friend. Go out and actually have converse, like find people who you think are going to be your dream clients, interview them, ask them questions, see if they are an ideal client. And then if they are, I like to have them take notes during that conversation because the words that they use are like liquid gold for your messaging, for your conversations. What was the biggest thing that you learned for yourself about your clients during that market research? Just curious.
That the idea of having a one-stop shop was like, what? That's incredible. They were like so excited that they didn't have to go to multiple places to try to like figure out, okay, what is, and that's another thing that I highlight so much in podcast launching, is that market research side, right? We do the market research. What are you doing? What are you talking about? What are other people talking about? How can we differentiate you in the market? So like, that's where my marketing degree is like, yes, let's do this right. So it goes back to that. But really just finding people who like, they were like, oh, so I don't have to do anything but record and you'll actually sit in with me on the first recording. Great. That doesn't feel any, like so scary. Or I've been, a lot of people, they had said that they had been sitting on a podcast idea for months or years and they just didn't know how to take that step. And so having someone who could hold their hand or guide them was what really made the difference for us.
Yeah. And it's, that's so true, because I know I'm in my third season. So this will be my third year with my podcast. And I started right before the pandemic. And I think I'd probably been thinking about starting a podcast for 2 years, and it wasn't this piece that scared me. I'm like, I love conversation. I'm a curious person. So I'm really good at asking questions and like diving down rabbit holes and having those conversations. But the tech piece is what scared me. Absolutely. And I wish I would have started 2 years earlier than I even did, because I would have had that many more conversations and have made that many, you know, built so many more relationships. And it's content, which is also amazing, like extra content for my community, people hearing people's stories. All those pieces have been so fun over the past 2 years. I'm like, man, why did I drag my feet for so long? Like, yeah, some of the stuff took me a minute to figure it out, but the payoff of it and the reward for using it to like grow my business, to help support other people, to have their stories heard, has absolutely, like, you can't get anything better than that.
Yeah. And that's why I love podcasting, and why I feel so like good about the work we do, is because I know it's making a difference, not just in the podcaster's life of like being able to have really great conversations, but impacting their business, their bottom line, their values, things that they are wanting to create. And we're behind the scenes doing that. And I love it so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing you mentioned that I love is you just put yourself out there, got your first client, and you said that you did it for like dirt cheap. I think that was the word you used. And then as you worked with people, you started raising your prices. And that's like the best way you can do it. Because oftentimes when we start businesses, we're really afraid to put ourselves out there and kind of put a stake in the ground and say, like, this is what I'm an expert at. I'm really amazing at it. I have a huge passion for it. And we think we have to charge like bazillions of dollars to start. But sometimes it makes it so much more manageable and controllable in the beginning stage to build that confidence, to practice, to make sure you're validating the idea and those different things by just putting yourself out there. And, you know, sometimes it's like, okay, it's a $99 coaching session. Cool. Like, are we going to charge $99 for our whole life? No, but we're going to start there and we'll grow and develop from there. What would you say was like the biggest like mind shift for you as you've been raising your price?
The biggest mind shift was that seeing that the value and the results that they were getting didn't change based on the price that I had. Like, I still showed up 100%. And so my values align in like, okay, I need to be able to provide for my family, number one. I need to be able to provide for my team, number two. And I need to be able to create something that I'm super proud of. Like, those are the values of my business. So in knowing that, it made it a lot easier for me to raise those prices and be like, okay, in order to hire a team, because I know I didn't want to have like, I didn't want to be just a solo service provider. And I also didn't want to have like courses and stuff like that. Like, I wanted an agency. And so knowing that ahead of time and knowing that this is the business model I want, this is what I need to be able to do, then that made it so much easier. I mean, we were talking before we hit record that I'm about to raise my prices again. And I don't feel scared about it. Like, if you would have told me I was charging this like a year ago, I'd have been like, what, are you crazy? But the value is there when I'm and I'm able to still align with my values of like, this is how I want to provide for people and provide for my clients and also give great product into the world. And it makes sense. And it also allows us to work with people who trust us. Like, it brings in the right clients, the clients who, you know, maybe at the beginning, they're starting to kind of phase out, where they were being charged less and they're not as invested in their podcast as the people who are being charged more. It's like, oh, Alicia told me to do this, I'm going to do it. Whereas the people who aren't paying as much are like, eh, take it or leave it. I'm going to skip this week. And I'm like, no, you can't skip a week, guys. Like, consistency is so important. And so, yeah, it creates a whole different like breed of clients too, which has been really great.
So important, because that's what, like, the consistency piece to it, the value piece, like as we raise our prices, we've already learned how to do all the things. Like, that's the one thing that people always ask. Well, it's not an hour. Like, you don't have to have an hourly rate, right? Like, some of the stuff that used to take me an hour might take me 10 minutes now to do. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that I charge 10 minutes worth of my time. I still charge for that hour. And that's powerful when you're growing a business, because then you can start to not only pay yourself, pay your team, but you can start to profit in your business. And then you can invest that back into your business to grow it to that next level. You can support your community because you have the resources and the funds to, you know, donate to nonprofits and speak up and use your voice to empower other people to do things. And that's why it's important that we don't have a hobby, right? That we actually have profitable businesses and that we're making money so we can do all those things. Otherwise, it's not worth it at the end of the day. When we don't have anything extra or we're barely scraping by, it's not going to give us the impact and the power that we need to make change in this world.
Absolutely. I remember hearing someone say, you shouldn't be penalized for knowing how to do something faster. So you have worked hard and taken time and effort to get to that skill level. Why are you being penalized for it by charging less? I had a team member recently who I was like, hey, this is a new project we want to do. She's does the video for us. And I was like, what are you going to charge me so I can make sure that I know what I'm charging the clients? And she gave me a price and I was like, and we're going to double that. And I was like, I am not going to pay you that for this project. I will pay you double, because it's not about how long it's going to take you. It's about you being able to do it and me not having to do it. That's it.
Yeah. I don't know how to, I know how to edit video if I have to, like, yeah. I can work my way through it, but I'm not amazing at it. And it will take me like 6 years to make like one little cut.
Yeah.
And so somebody who has that skill set, like, they absolutely deserve what we're making from there. And then you, as the business owner, like, you raise that price so that you can support having those people on your team and profit and grow your business too. So absolutely, yeah. Love what you're doing. I would love for you to share with us, like, when you think back to, like, when you first started and, like, you were putting yourself out there, and you're lucky because you had that marketing degree. Not everybody comes into entrepreneurship knowing how to market and sell. There's like that piece, we're really good at what we do, so we started a business and then we're like, oh crap, like, before the customers just were handed to me and now I have to go and find them. But as you marketed your business and put yourself out there, what was like the biggest struggle you had and how did you overcome it?
I'd say the biggest struggle in the beginning was finding my voice in the midst of all of the other podcast producers and podcast strategists, right? So we do something very unique where we are able to be producers and strategists. And so that's what differentiates us from a lot of the other people. But when it was just me in the beginning, it was like more about, okay, let's get a quality podcast out there. Let's get this great stuff out there. And so that was harder to market and like find my voice. And I found that what I needed to do was just be me, right? Because people buy from people a lot more than they do from, like, I guess, like, businesses or whatever. Like, it's more about like the person behind it that they're excited to work with. And especially when it was just me, I mean, even now I get people who, I'm not working on a lot of their projects, my team is, but they're so excited to work with me. And they know that the level of quality that I would put forth is what my team is going to put forth, because I train all of them. And I say that up front, like, I'm very type A, this is going to be a certain way. But really just being me and showing up as me is what ended up getting me a lot of those clients in the beginning from people I didn't know. So it was in the very beginning, it was like referrals or people I knew who knew somebody and they were like, hey, talk to Alicia. But then as I started getting like kind of broader, it was mostly on social media, but just showing up as me and people finding me. Especially when Reels came out, that was like a big one where I would just do fun Reels and just be silly. And they were like, oh, I like her Reels. I like her energy. What does she do? Oh, I've wanted to launch a podcast. And so we got a couple clients that way too.
Yeah. I love that that you identify that, because that's what I teach that, like, right? Like showing up as yourself, sharing your story, building your personal brand. You have to be you. Like, there's so much sameness when we go into the online space, especially because we all look alike, we sound alike. We look at somebody who we think is being successful, so we try to emulate what they're doing, and then we lose ourselves in that process because we're showing up as somebody else. And then when you look at their website and compare it against yours, you're like, oh wait, like that's like there's nothing separating me at this point from this person. And when we show up as ourselves and we just show those unique qualities and we're authentic and vulnerable and real, like I always say, I'm like, when I meet you in person, I want you to feel like you already know me. And I've met people in person that I had met online first, and they were totally two different people. And I was like, this is so weird. I want to meet you and feel like I could sit down and have coffee and we're the same people. So I try really hard for myself to show up exactly how I would if I was sitting next to you having coffee when I'm leading a workshop or speaking on stage. Like, you're going to get me for who I am. I want some of like those quirks and that personality traits to actually come through my messaging and my marketing, so that I do stand out. And I'm like mocha almond fudge, not vanilla ice cream, right?
Yes. Yes, 100%. I had someone in that first year actually reach out to me and say, hey, you're copying my business. And I was like, actually, no, because I knew she had something similar where this is what she was doing. And that's great. But as soon as I decided that this was the business I wanted to have, I unfollowed her and did not want to see any of the content she was creating because I wanted to show up as me. And so I knew that her views were very different. She had like the whole launch your podcast in 2 weeks. And I was very, very adamant in my content. Don't launch your podcast in 2 weeks. Take time and do the market research. Get your audience excited about it. Don't launch it quick. Why would you launch anything quickly like that? Like, be strategic with your podcast. It is going to like be such a great funnel for you to make money and have people come in through your business. So I like went back to her and I was like, actually, no, like you serve coaches. I serve business owners and consultants. And like, I don't really want to work with coaches. And also you talk about launching in 2 weeks and I don't think that's a good idea. And she didn't respond after that, but I was like, really? Like, and also like on a brand side, hers is like pink and gold and very like, I guess, quote unquote feminine. Mine's black and red and like very like in your face, which is very much my personality. Yeah. So like, I was like, no, we're not the same. Like, and that's why I think it's so important to show up as you, like you said, like people can look at our two brands and know very quickly that we are different people.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's I think a lot of people I talk to when they're starting their business, they're watching what other people in the industry are doing, which is highly important in the very beginning. Like, you want to do the market research. You want to see like, do I have a viable business idea? Is anybody else doing what I want to do? Once you clarify that and you see, okay, there's other people doing this, that means there's room in the market space. How do you fill the gap in your unique way, based from how they're showing up and what they're doing? Like, find that sweet spot. And then you want to keep an eye on them, but you don't want to focus on them all the time, because like you shared, like you want to create different types of content. You want to look differently. And when I think that's the biggest problem though, is so many people, they're like, okay, I'll go with mindset coach. I was talking to somebody recently who's a mindset coach, and she said something very similar where she's like, I'm following other mindset coaches. She's like, but I don't feel like I'm doing anything different. I'm like, stop following them. Like, you're seeing their content. And as soon as they're like, oh, I can't write a blog post now because this person wrote a blog post about what I was going to write but I saw it. So now I can't write it because then they're going to think I'm copying. And I was like, well, if you weren't paying such close attention, you would have had that idea and you would have shown up in your way and wrote it your style. And you would have had your 5 tips, not their 5 tips that are now in your head, right?
Yes, exactly. 100% agree.
Like, it's almost like you want to know that they're there. You want to keep an eye on them, but you need to stay like in your lane and stay focused doing things your way in the way that feels authentic and true to you.
Yeah. And you know that you'll get to a point where maybe you have enough business or whatever, and you can refer people to other people, right? Like, hey, you're not a good fit, but I have colleagues in the podcast management space where maybe they're not doing exactly what I do, but I see the work they do. They show up for their audience, and I would recommend people to them in a heartbeat. And I have a few people like that in my, but I'm not watching their content. I'm not like, I'm not here for that. Yeah. I'm just here that like, okay, we're good. We're on more of a referral base at this point. And if someone wants to find us, then they can, but if they're not a good fit, I am always happy to send them to someone else who I like and trust.
Absolutely. And that's, you have to have people to refer, because sometimes I can quickly identify once I hop on the phone with somebody, if we're going to be the right fit, if there's like the right vibe. And mm-hmm. I've worked with people who I had that red flag go off before and I didn't listen. And I was like, but it's a client and you know, they're going to pay me. Like, you know, you do all those things. And then afterwards you're like, oh, like sometimes it's not about the money. It's about the connection, the values lining up, making sure we're a good fit. And so now I tell all my people on my calls, like when I first start, I'm like, today's call is really about you learning about me and me learning about you. This is like a two-way street. We need to both make sure that we're a good fit. And then we can make a decision at the end of the call if we want to move forward together. And if not, I'm happy to refer you to somebody who's going to be a better fit if I get a feeling that you're not right for me. And that takes away some of the stress during that conversation, first of all, which is beautiful, of that sales conversation, right? Because there's no like, they're like, oh yeah, you're right. Like you're interviewing me and I'm interviewing you. It's not just me interviewing you and me going, yes, I'll hire you. Like there's more to the conversation, and it just takes away some of that anxiety when we're in that buying process.
Yeah, I remember one time I was at a point where I was like, I want to hire a new person. And so we're going to try to take as many clients as we can. And we only take 2 launch clients per month, just as like setting boundaries around like how we want to show up for our launch clients. Right. But this person, I had talked to her. She seemed like she was a good fit. There were a few things where I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then she had some questions about the proposal, which usually would be fine, but they were questions where I was like, I don't know that I really want to work with someone who has these types of questions. Like I want people who are going to trust me to know my process and know that I know what I'm talking about. Right. And so the moment that she paid the invoice and I got the email that like, hey, she's moving forward, I wasn't excited. And that was a huge moment for me of like, I don't want to feel this again. And I also know that this is not going to be a fun project for me, and I'm not going to be excited about it, which means my team feeding off of my energy is already going to know that I'm not excited about this. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah. It impacts how we show up and how we love the work that we're doing. When I'm working with clients that light me up and I'm excited for where they're going and where they're headed, it's so much easier just to show up and have fun and like have great conversations and ask the right questions and get them where they're trying to go. And when there's that little bit of, and that's with any of my clients, like there's one thing that's like off, I have to work extra hard to like, it's almost like a teeter totter. Like we need to figure out how to balance it back out in a way that feels right. Because we're like, this one piece feels heavy and I don't want to work that way.
And as a business owner, you're allowed to just work with the people you want to work with. And I understand like in the beginning, it can be hard, right? Because you have to make money, right? Like you want to make money. And you will get to the point where you can make those decisions and say, you know what? I don't want to work with this person anymore. Yeah. And that's great.
Yeah. And we're all going to work with one person who we're like, ooh, maybe we shouldn't have. And we learn from it. And then we learn what we like, what we don't like, what to watch for in the interview process the next time when we're having those conversations. And now we're like, oh, like you can go off that gut response, like, ooh, I'm being triggered here. Something's not right. Let me investigate. Let me sleep on this. Make sure that I'm feeling into it the right way and go, okay, yeah. Like I don't think this is a good fit. Here's an amazing other person who's going to be a better fit for you.
Yes, exactly.
I know we're going to start wrapping up in a second and go to rapid fire questions. But before you do, I would love for you to share with us, like what's next for your agency? Like what's coming in this year?
Yeah. So I'm really excited. We're going to be doing more things where I'm able to do more workshops for people who maybe can't afford us because we are very high ticket. And I want to be able to provide value where I can. So we're opening up my calendar for more like strategy sessions, like one-off like projects for people, as well as like 3-day workshops, which I'm really excited about. But we're also hiring. And so that's a really exciting and fun thing. And then hopefully if things go smoothly, we'll have a team, like, because we are virtual and we're all over the US, having the team together, at like a Airbnb or something. And so that's a goal for later this year that I'm like, yes, let's do that.
Like, I get to meet my team in person, which is so exciting. I got a chance to meet with some mastermind sisters, back in September and most of them I had met, I think all but like one I had never met in person, but to bring them together in person was amazing.
Yes.
I love that. All right. Well, let's dive into some fun questions because I want to get to know you a little bit better. I'm super curious. Are you binge watching anything right now? And if so, what?
So I just finished binge watching The Witcher.
Okay.
On Netflix. I actually don't watch a ton of TV. I like to read. I read 350 books last year. And so I would rather read than to watch, but sometimes my husband can rope me in.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it is kind of around here too. Usually if I'm watching something, it's at like 9:30 at night when everybody else is asleep. And I'm like, oh, I finally get to control the remote for a minute. My next question was actually going to be like, what's on your nightstand? Like, what book are you reading? So if you read 350, you've got a lot, but what's got your heart right now?
Yeah. So I am actually right in between books. I just finished one and I didn't like it. So I'm not going to talk about that one, but my husband did get me a rom-com that I plan on reading. And that's on my nightstand right now. And that is called The Real Deal. And it looks so funny. It's like, this guy has an ad where he says he'll pretend to be like the worst boyfriend ever. Like, you pay him to act as the worst boyfriend ever, pretty much to get back at your family. So he'll like get into arguments, he'll openly hit on your sister, your mother, like, it doesn't matter. He'll drag you away over his shoulder, caveman style, like all this stuff. So I'm excited to read that because I think it's going to be fun and lighthearted and it'll be fun.
Like, you're like, and I'm going to pull some of these tricks out of this book that you gave me, babe, and we're going to try it with the family and see what happens.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Let me know how that goes. Yes. I need a report back. What do you like to do when you go to like reflect, recharge, light yourself up? What does that look like for you? Do you like to go somewhere, do something?
Yeah. So there's a few different things that I've tried. What I liked the most, and I'm a mom of two, and with my husband being a stay-at-home dad, I see his face all the time. And so like, I need to get away, right? And so in October, so a couple months ago, I took 4 days and we're like 2.5 hours from the beach. And I went into an Airbnb right off the beach. It was off season, so it's not like there were a lot of people. Got to meet some locals, brought back some shells and some like shark teeth and stuff like that for my kids, but it was so refreshing and nice to like just have quiet and to be able to reflect on how did the year go and where do I kind of want to see the company go, as well as have like regular calls that I already had scheduled. So that's what I like to do, and I'm planning on doing that at least twice a year for myself.
Love it. There's nothing more powerful for our business when we can just kind of step away from the day-to-day and like the normal scenery and like all the stuff and just really like reflect. I don't get a chance to do it as often either. And it's hard when we go out like the kids and the family life and there's always something happening. The kids have a soccer event or something. I feel like I'm like, there's always stuff on the calendar, but when we can step away and just really reflect. And sometimes I've had clients that have, you know, gotten hotel rooms even in their own city. Or one of my friends was writing a book and she got a hotel room and like locked herself in for a couple of days and got so much productivity done because the laundry, the dishes, all the like normal stuff wasn't there staring at her. So love that idea. And who has been the biggest impact or influence in your life? If you had to name like one person.
This might sound counterintuitive, but I'd have to say my mom. And this is the reason I say it might be counterintuitive is that she was not the best mom. But it really allowed me to see the kind of life I wanted to have and the kind of life I didn't want to have. Right. And so now that she's since passed and stuff like that, I also want to make her super proud. And I know that she would be based on like, you know, what I've created, but a lot of it has to do with like seeing her struggle paycheck to paycheck and like the life that she kind of led, and the parenting style that she had, and like how that's kind of like shifted my perspective. Absolutely loved her to pieces, still love her to pieces, obviously, but I think that sometimes it's important to see like the things you don't want and then the things you do, and to be able to say, okay, I could do that if I try hard and I do my thing. And it is possible.
Perfect. And I love like the reflection too. Like we can learn so much, especially from like the generations of stuff that have happened. Like we can break that cycle and make it our own and really step into what we want that to look like. And we can take the good and we can take the bad. And we're like, all right, let's figure this out for ourselves. And it's such a good self-reflection and a reminder too, because sometimes we see things done a certain way and that's all we know. And when we step outside of like our comfort zone and we connect with other people and we read different books and like open our mind to different things, we're like, oh, this actually doesn't have to be this way. It could also be this way or that way. And I think it's important that we break some of those generational patterns, which I love that you've done.
Thank you. Yeah, I do think it's so important, and I don't think enough people do it, but
right,
working on it.
It's a work in progress, and we don't know what we don't know. I was just having a conversation recently with someone, and we were sharing like, until we leave our family, like a lot of times growing up we're around like our family members, like the immediate family and like the cousins and the grandparents and all the different things. That's all we're around a lot of times. And as we start to get friends, you start to see like, oh, wait, you do that at your house? Huh. Like we don't do that at my house. We'd be getting so much trouble, or it's gotta be this way. And you're like, but like, it gives you a little, like, it just opens your eyes to how things could be different and what that looks like. And I think especially over the past 2 years, our eyes have been really opened. And we can really see things and make an impact and really step into who we want to truly be. And if things were embedded in us and part of like that generational trauma, we can shift it and pull it forward and make the world a better place in that process. So
yes, absolutely.
And my last question for you, actually, no, wait, I have two questions for you. One more. If I could give you a plane ticket right now and you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go?
I want to go to Italy so bad, just because. Never been out of the country, and I've always wanted to go to Italy, and my husband's Italian, I have Italian in me, and so that's one of the goals, is that eventually we'll get there.
Love it. I'm for going anywhere at this point.
Yes.
When you think of the words attract and stand out, what does that mean to you?
Be yourself. That's the only way you're going to attract people to you, and it's the only way you're going to be able to stand out, is by being your own self and not like who you think people want you to be or who you think people have always viewed you as. Like, be you, who you are in the moment.
Yeah, love it. Totally in alignment with what I think too. So perfect. Alicia, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join this conversation and share so many amazing insights and tips. People are going to want to connect with you. Where do we send them?
Yes, Instagram is my favorite place to hang out. Send me a DM. Tell me that you found me on this podcast and that you want to chat, because I'm always down to chat with people. But yeah, Instagram is my favorite place. Or you can go Instagram, alicia.galati. Or you can go to alishagalati.com. And that is my website.
Perfect. And I know you have an amazing free gift for those that are listening today. And I know it has to do with launching your podcast. Can you tell us in like a sentence or two what they're going to get when they download your free gift?
Yes. So it is a podcast launch training for free. You'll get a Trello board. You'll get a checklist, as well as like a workshop style 30-minute training as well. So kind of well-rounded. Here's how to get you started so that you can at least get moving.
Yeah. And figure out like, do I really want to do this? Like, okay, these are the steps it actually takes. Yes, I want to do it. Let's jump in and go. Or, okay, nope, I'm not up for that. Like, make that decision and then call Alicia, because she'll help you with the strategy and the production piece of it. Alicia, thank you so much for being here. This has been so fun having you here. Thank you. And that's another wrap for another episode of the Attract and Stand Out podcast. And always remember that I believe in you. You're allowed to shine. You're allowed to be you. I'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you love the show, leave a review and subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. It would mean the world to me. As a special thank you, I want to offer you a free gift, my Uncover Your Niche workbook and video training that helps you become unforgettable to your audience. You can sign up at darlenehawley.com. I look forward to seeing you all next week. In the meantime, have an amazing week and we will talk soon.